Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, Lulz is back, and we need to put a capper on the DFS Sim War saga. We've been talking about it on the show for the past couple of months. Some of you guys eat it up. Some of you guys are desperate for us to get back to our roots with DFS drama and whatnot. But we had to bring on one of the OG Sims, Matt Hunter from Saber Sim today. We're going to talk to him about what they've been working on over the years, some of the common misconceptions with Sims that are out there, and kind of his thoughts on this overall landscape. It is Lulz with Brian Hooper and Pete Overzet. Let's go.
He thinks this is a go. Vegas Dave thinks this is a go.
Hot naked girls doing yoga.
What?
Why don't you just win like a man?
Random.org. Type in one for yes, two for no, and let the DFS gods pick for you.
And I'm absolutely begging you not to dupe us. Please don't dupe us.
All right, Matt Hunter from Saber Sim. But first, let me check here with my host, Brian Hooper. Brian, how are we doing today?
I went out to work on my boat with my dad not like an hour ago.
Yeah.
Opened the back compartment, a giant raccoon in there.
Seriously? Like, oh, it had been living in there for a while?
I haven't driven in like a month. I haven't had like people over and stuff. And yeah, so I guess he's been chilling in there.
It was alive?
He's alive. He's still in there.
Wow. All right.
Did you shriek, Brian? What was your reaction?
No, I was like, fuck that raccoon, pussy raccoon. Kick its ass. No, yeah, I ran like a little girl. No. My dad shut it. And then we tried some, you know, stupid caveman stuff that didn't work. And then I called some animal places. You know what you cost? Fucking $300 to get that raccoon out of there. It's like,
wow.
So Google says throw some like vinegar. They hate vinegar smell, apple cider vinegar, stuff like that. Threw some rags over them, boogied on out of there. Now we're just gonna see if he takes off.
$300, Brian, that's money you could be spending on another sim product.
That's
here,
right,
in the DFS streets. Let's see. We do have our guest, Matt Hunter, here from Saber Sim. Matt, do you want to address this allegation from Mr. Brain himself, Travis Petty, who says you look nervous right now?
Yeah, I feel like Travis has been trying to get my nerves high. He's been like jabbing at me all week, or actually not a week, since yesterday, since the video preview came out. I'm not nervous, though. My dog, of course, started going crazy right when the stream started, so figured that would happen. So he must be nervous, but I'm not.
Yeah. I mean, we got Travis, who's famously waging this war against the Sim Bros. It's his brain versus the Sims. As an OG Sim Bro, I mean, it does feel like you and Travis Petty, we've been trying to orchestrate some kind of boxing match here. Is it you versus Petty? You guys might, how tall are you?
I'm like 6 feet. I'm not the boxing. So Will, he's in chat right now. He's our data guy. I posted the tweet like a couple months ago that he's willing to kickbox or, you know, MMA fight anybody, any other Sim or Brain Bro. So Travis and Will, if you guys want to get that organized, I think Will would be down for sure.
There you go. We will continue to try to stoke the flames. Brian, you think we can make this a reality here?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think you want to mess with Travis if he's cranking homers out of Wrigley, just, you know, casually during, you know, BP. But I have a feeling Travis probably not interested in fighting anybody. So
yeah, it's not Brains versus Brawn, right? But it's Brains versus Sims.
That is how Matt got on the show. He promised us someone from Saber Sim will fight. So this has to happen.
That is the new criteria for Lulz. We have updated it. It used to be you just had to win a Millie Maker, and it is now you now need to be willing to go to blows over your DFS product. Those are the two qualifications. Matt, why don't you, for people who aren't familiar with you, why don't you give us just a little, I don't know, a little resume, a little high-level overview, who you are, what you've been doing in the DFS space?
Yeah, for sure. So I started SaberSim. I was just looking that up this morning, like almost 10 years ago now, just pretty wild. I'm not the typical, like, I didn't come from a poker gambling background. I came from like a baseball stats nerd background. Started, you know, I basically like was kind of doing stats research, some writing for Fangraphs, and then wanted to write my own sim as like kind of a research tool. So I started doing that like 10 years ago, realized, you know, it could be used for DFS, you know, to create projections, stuff like that. And so I've sort of just been like iteratively improving. So I started with just baseball, but like NHL, NBA, NFL, all, you know, probably at least 5-6 years ago, we've had all the sports. So we've kind of just been like slowly growing, and like I think that we're not as public in terms of like big personalities and stuff like that, but we're sort of just like adding more and more sports, more and more tools, and really focusing on like the sim, like the game sim aspect, initially. Obviously over the past few months it's been more on the contest sim side, but yeah, I mean, that's kind of the overall summary, but been doing the sim stuff for, yeah, almost a decade now.
Did you purposely not want to say Sabermetrics because it sounds too dorky, or because usually you have to find out if you're going to talk about Fangraphs and baseball stats, come on.
Yeah. I mean, well, obviously SaberSim is a, you know, comes from Sabermetrics. Yeah. I think I started, when I started out, I was like baseball-sim.com. Which apparently I think still redirects to SaberSim, but then I was like, oh, I got to think of a good name that combines like Sabermetrics and simulations. I got real creative there.
You got it. You nailed it.
But yeah, I did nail it.
Was SaberSim was on Fangraphs for a bit, wasn't it?
Yeah, for a while. Yep. We had the, just like the projections on, there was like a page on Fangraphs that had all the projections, and then like on the player pages too. I think we kind of moved past the point of like projections really having much value, and it's kind of a pain to keep that up. So but yeah, we were on there for a few years, and I think some people got learned about us from, you know, through looking at Fangraphs pages.
Yeah, I remember those were the days, man. Those were glory days.
Yeah,
that's old school. Were you always interested in the Sims from the product and kind of entrepreneurial side, or did you ever consider kind of hoarding this for your own play?
So, I mean, I got into Sims from like the nerdy side of like wanting to like research stuff and, like solve problems. I learned about DFS through like a friend that was sort of, following what I was doing with SaberSim initially before I got into DFS, and he was like, you should like sell this as a product basically. And so I really more got into it from the entrepreneurial side rather than my own play. I mean, I, at the time, I did not really have any money, so I don't think I had any, you know, I wasn't like trying to like grind out, you know, making profit. I like building software. I think it's like a lot more fun for me personally to like build tools and build sites and write code than, you know, the gambling side of it, though, you know, I do some of both now.
You know, that is a very familiar process for DFS sim bros like me, because back in the day when you're trying to figure all this stuff out, I couldn't have been the only one who's going to like Sabermetric forums and the basketball equivalent, like what is it, Abermetric or whatever. And you go in those forums and you steal these nerd stuff and then come up with your own variations of making your own projections and simulations and stuff like that, because they're not your competition. And a lot of them too, if you got involved in those forums, would answer your questions. A lot of them were professors and, or people who worked at schools. And I bet a lot of pro DFS players did the exact same thing and scoured those old forums and used a lot of their ideas. It's interesting. It's just kind of coming at it from a different angle, going into this software business as opposed to gambling, but it's definitely a big part of it. And you'll read a lot of those forums now. I mean, back then, if the posts are still there, and you'll see some of these guys who are coming up with, you know, pretty creative, not DFS relevant, more like judging a lot of big, a lot of this, that, that side of it is judging players over time and like comparing generations and stuff like that, which isn't really relevant for DFS, but they'll be like anti-gambling, like in an ignorant way from such intelligent people. It's shocking. They'll be like, oh, you can't beat gambling. Everyone knows the casino always wins. And it's like, you know, maybe you should look into this. Actually, don't look into this.
Yeah.
let me just use your stuff.
No, for sure. There's like a weird like stigma against gambling and DFS and sports betting and stuff within like that kind of sabermetrics nerd stat sphere. There's definitely like a lot of those sites are like kind of refuse to like even get into it at all. And it's, you know, it's interesting. I mean, even without the gambling, I think there's just, I mean, DFS especially is just like such an interesting problem to solve. It's funny that more people don't want to even just get into it just out of the curiosity of like the game theory and all that stuff. That's just, you know, kind of an endless set of questions to answer. So,
yep. Yeah. It was big. Sorry, P. It was big in the, like the Bill James era with, Moneyball coming out and stuff like that. But even slightly before that, it was really getting popular. And it is super, super new. But like, I mean, I made my first models long before DFS, just being a nerd baseball fan and just trying to compare, because I was working in minor league baseball at the time and trying to figure out like, how can I get someone to hire me? You know, because I'm not hitting BP balls, out of Wrigley left and right, like Petty. So like, what angle can I use? And that was a specific, like purposely was trying to get that. And, but back then they were still just so many meatheads. They weren't having it. And, I quit after like 3 or 4 years anyway. So, but, that was good times, man, back then when sabermetrics first started getting popular and you had to go on to Amazon, like the original Amazon, to get all the old almanacs and stuff like that.
It was, yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, Pete, if you had a
question. No. I'm appreciating just a couple of nerds reminiscing about the good old days.
Yeah, I feel like me and Brian could talk about this for like hours probably.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Matt, one of the reasons, I mean, we wanted to have you on for multiple reasons, but you had been, I know you've been watching the shows, and I want to say one of the comments you mentioned specifically was that you think there's some pretty big misconceptions about sim products. And I'm curious, I mean, that could go in a lot of different directions as far as from the consumer side, from the builder side, but what are some of the things that have been, I don't know, chapping your ass as you sit here from afar as the sims become the biggest buzzword in DFS?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. There's a lot of directions. I don't want to hop in my soapbox and just do a big monologue about what's wrong with all the other sim products out there. I mean, I think first of all is like, and you guys have gone over this, the like this whole, I mean, I know Travis like trolls half the time or probably more with like this brain versus sims thing. And you guys have gone over like, it's a stupid dichotomy, right? But like, I do think this idea that like, sims are like antithetical to brains, or like even antithetical to like making your own decisions. It's just like so ridiculous. I think the idea comes from sort of like, I understand where they're coming from with this idea of like this pushback against like the sim bros who just want to click a button and they rate out their lineups and then they click enter. But you know, I think the Sims right now, like what we're seeing, that the Sim Wars and stuff is, it's Sim products, right? And I think the concern is that the products are just like taking away that control and that agency. And there's this lack of transparency of like, how do the Sims actually work? Like what is going on in the background of like the methodology and how are like the games actually like, are there actually game simulations and like play-by-play sims, like how the distributions and ranges of outcomes working? And you know, I think one thing that we've tried to do really hard at SaberSim is to integrate the sims like into the existing infrastructure, existing product, where like you can make your own decisions, you can like upload projections, you can make rules, you can make like groups, you can basically do everything you were already doing with your optimizer with your process, and then you can like run the sims, get the results. You got the your ROI, your, you know, we've got like risk adjusted ROI, we've got win rate, cash rate, and then take those numbers and like integrate them however you want into your process. But the idea that it's like, oh, well, if you're a brain player, you can't be a sim player, or vice versa, is it's just wrong. It's, I think, probably the brain players, as Petty likes to call them, can get the most value out of the sims, because you have this like really time efficient way of integrating ownership and upside and correlation into your process, which previously you had to like take a bunch of extra time to integrate that stuff and make a bunch of rules, and that took time away from being able to actually like incorporate your value add, your like no ball adjustments. And now you can like spend more time making those adjustments and using your brain, and less time trying to like fiddle with rules to like get at what the sim already does best. Yeah. So I mean, I think that that's like one of the big things that's just been bothering me, is like this that just false dichotomy.
I agree. I mean, I basically said that very similar to that. I mean, if I'm gonna defend the brain players here for a second, though,
you're paying to do so.
I'm a brain player now. I'm switching. Petty's convinced me.
Yeah, right.
You could just do it. You could just be 0.001% just like that, Pete. All you have to do is just
Jonathan play. Mingo back to a full practice this week, Brian. You got.
You don't think I knew that? And. What were we talking about? Oh yeah. If I'm flipping ahead, I could see where if you don't have the software developer, like you telling them specifically what you want. And like, maybe there's some tricks that a sim can't do with like building lineups, like the sim as like a product that's out there that you could buy doesn't do something specifically you want. I could see that technically being something, but that still doesn't really disprove the idea that Matt was mentioning. Cause then you could actually just hire your own developer and have them build your specific sim that outputs lineups in a fashion of your, whatever tricks you're adding on, that the current sims don't do. So you still could do it.
Right. And I mean, not to toot my own horn too much, but like on Saber Sim, like you can do any of that stuff that you like, even if there's this, like, oh, the sim can't account for like these two players. I know that they're like not going to both hit their ceiling in the same, right. Like, I don't want them together in the same lineup. The sims don't understand that. It's like, well, just make a group, you know, and like you can do any of that stuff, set like a min projection. So you're not getting like lineups that you know are like worse, you know, have too low of a projection to be viable. Don't, you know, you can set ownership rules, like you can do any of that stuff within that framework. And I think that's why it's so important to have sims integrated with like your existing process and not have it just be this like separate thing where you have to like upload your field, upload your projections, like be pulling data from all these different places. It takes longer, there's more room for error. So that's really my big thing, is like the streamlined process.
Error is a big underrated point of this, because like my shit breaks a lot. And so like it basically rarely, if ever, breaks when you're paying for it. I would think the brain players probably would say, no. That's why you don't know what the brain players are doing. So you can't say you add that into your sim yet, because they have some secret maneuvers they do. But yeah, there's basically nothing you can't implement into a sim that you're doing. You know, maybe there's something I don't know that they're doing, but you should be able to implement it even if they don't have it currently, and to pay someone to do it on the back end. For most brain players, I would say it's just a benefit.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I would think that most brain players are, you know, if they've got their own projections, right? Or they're just like choosing players, they upload their projections, they like build their lineups in an optimizer and like and set rules like based on what their brain is telling them to do, right? So I mean, obviously I don't know, but like presumably the idea is that brain players care about the actual player projections. But like, I mean, you can upload projections, you can change projections, you can make rules. So I don't really see what this pushback is really about. If you have a sim tool that like allows you to still make those decisions.
switching gears slightly, like from the business side with all of the sim wars, as like an OG, like have you guys experienced a first mover advantage? Like all of this interest in sims is actually, you know, resulting in a lot of subs for you guys with kind of your domain expertise, or is it an actual war, a turf war, and you guys are now competing for market share with all of these other sites and wrestling for the same, you know, cohort of customers?
I mean, I'm not going to get into our specific like sub numbers and stuff, but like it's been good for us. Like we've been talking about sims for many years, right? And like even contest sims, which, you know, we've been doing play by play game sims the whole for like dozen different sports, right? The contest sims are newer, and that's what these products are about. But even contest sims, we've been talking about in our content, our video content that we've been putting out for 2+ years, you know, so the content that we're giving to users, right? So like we've been talking at contest sims, like our users are aware of them, and like we're really, really excited, and I think we've gotten a lot of a lot of interest as sims become more mainstream, and there's interest in like people are understanding how important contest sims are, and sims are to just like a good DFS process. And I think the fact that we already had a really, really strong product before releasing these sims, where like we were already kind of doing a lot of the stuff that sims are trying to do, we didn't literally have the run contest sim button, but we were using contest sims to like back test a lot of our metrics and a lot of our defaults and stuff like that. So it's just sort of like a next step in our evolution as a product.
Well, can we talk about the sim maybe for a little bit, Pete? I have some experience with their products. So it seems like, correct me if I'm wrong, right now you're doing 5,000 cap field, right? That you could simulate. Has that changed? No, right?
Yes, it is. It's we actually do 10,000 for showdowns right now. There's some just technical limitations for like viewing all 10,000 of them. For main slates, it's 5,000.
We have like that number up to 10 on showdowns. It will actually, because I think the default is 5.
Yeah, so this is for like our fields that were auto generating for showdowns. We now do 10. For main slates, it's 5, but we have like the 12 different fields that we generate automatically as news hits and sims updates. So we have like the you know, low stakes MME, low stakes single entry, high stakes single entry, high stakes 20 max, like literally like a dozen different options. Then we will create fields for all of those, and those are all 5,000.
How do you build your like high stakes single entry or something like that? Can you talk about that? Like, what are you doing different? Mm-hmm. Are you predicting differently? And then,
yeah, so we don't start with ownership and back into the field lineups. It's, we've always generated ownership projections through building field lineups. That's what we were already doing. We have gotten better at it. So we basically just like back tested. We've got our whole like contest database, right? So we look at all of the contests of this type. So like high stakes single entry, and basically just back tested like the settings and like the stack types and all that stuff to as close as we can match what the contests actually are. So we have these like auto, you know, these settings that obviously there will be like less variance, right, in the high stakes. So like the chalk will be chalkier. There's going to just be not as wide of exposures, and player pools will be tighter, stuff like that. You know, the obvious stuff that everyone like knows intuitively, but we've kind of just got that like automated into the process.
So I would assume you would be a very bad salesman if you didn't say SaberSim has the best sim product out there. So say what makes SaberSim the best sim product out there? What do you guys do better than all of these Johnny Come Latelys?
So I think the big thing that, and this is another like misconception or whatever issue that I've heard, is the game sims, and specifically like our play-by-play sims that actually like are the basis for all of the player distributions are pretty key. And I think a lot of the the talk about Sims that I've heard so far is sort of overlooking, like, how are you actually generating the distributions for all the players and those correlations? You know, the field lineups are obviously important, and you want to get those as accurate as possible, and we have. But I think what really differentiates us is, you know, like I said at the beginning, we've been building play-by-play sims for almost a decade, right, for MLB, but NFL still like a number of years. And so we're going through, like, literally play-by-play each game, start off, you know, kickoff starts at the 25, Patrick Mahomes, like, throws to Travis Kelce, whatever, like, there's, it like runs through the game play-by-play, like a Madden sim, you know, 100,000 times. And what the result of that is the distribution of player points for each player, but then for all the other players in the game. And so you can't get that with just like uploading median projections and some simple correlations and even like percentiles or ceilings, because you don't know how those player performances are interacting with each other. And I think we even have gone way deeper over the past couple of years for NFL, for example. Like, we've really dug into play time based on the situation of the game. So, right, it's like the fourth quarter, you're down by two scores, you're going to be playing much faster, doing no huddles, whatever. The probability of players running out of bounds when they catch the ball. And then, you know, the game script of, like, are you going to punt? Are you going to kick a field goal, depending on the score and the team and where you are on the field? We're, like, doing all of that stuff in the play-by-play sims, and that's just a level of nuance that you aren't going to get if you're not literally, like, doing that play-by-play. And it's obviously a lot more important for something like Showdown, where those game scripts are so important. But I think even for main slates, having those, like, upside correlations where it's not just, like, what's the correlation between one player's full distribution and the other? It's like, when this player hit their 99th percentile, how does that affect the probability of all the other players in their game hitting their 50th, 75th, 85th, 99th percentile? How is that going to affect sort of like the rest of the slate? So we've really, really focused on digging into those play-by-play sims. And I think that's where a big part of our value comes in. I mean, I could talk for another 30 minutes on the other
Talk about ways this that we...
Yeah.
So that is really important. And like, that's one of the reasons I use Run the Sims play-by-play data for my football, because I could actually get that from Justin, luckily. Get a friendship API deal. And you know, so it does, there's a huge difference, Pete. You know, like a distribution, you know, is like a bell-shaped curve looks like a distribution for certain things. And when you're just doing an individual bell-shaped curve for one individual player, it doesn't take into account all the other interactions. And so the only way to do that is either do the full play-by-play sim, or you kind of have to math hack it and do a whole bunch of like these weird correlation things where, okay, well, if he goes off, the quarterback goes off, then we know the wide receivers will probably go off. And it's not really a true to form distribution, which the wider you zoom out doesn't matter as much, but like in a Showdown where you really have to zoom in, it matters a lot more. So like my question would be, with SaberSim though, the sim part doesn't actually use the play-by-play data, right? The sim uses the distributions from the play-by-play, which is different. Is that right? We've talked offline once before. Tell me if I'm understanding. If I'm not understanding that right, correct me.
I guess I don't fully understand the distinction that you're making. So like for the contest sims, all that matters is like the points that each player score, like the DFS points that each player scores in each simulation of the game, right?
Yeah.
So how you get to that point, how you get to that point value in each point of the distribution is either through play-by-play sim or by using like your math hack approach, right? But our point distributions are generated from the play-by-play sims. But we're not doing fresh play-by-play sims every time you hit the run contest sim button, if that's what you're asking.
Okay, maybe there was I had a little disconnect. Maybe it is the exact same thing. Because the way I picture it, the way I do it anyways, is like one game. Yeah, sure, it is like 7.4 points for that game. but that counts like for that. That's a sim. And then the next sim, mm-hmm. what happened in the next game? So the sim matches up with each play-by-play game.
Yeah.
That's what you do too. It's not just a distribution output that's used, you know.
No, correct. So like we have 100,000 simulations of this game. So it's like sim one, who's playing tonight, Bears Commanders, like Bears win 21-7. Justin Fields scores 18 fantasy points, whatever. Like we have each player's points from that individual sim 100,000 times. And when you're running the contest sim, it's just like each time we're just pulling a random sim of the game out. And when you take all of them, then you're rating out the lineup with each of those sims individually, and then kind of taking the overall average ROI or whatever.
So if I choose 50,000 simulations in Saber Sim, is it just picking randomly from that 100,000 pool that you did previously? Mm. Okay. That's fine. Okay. That answers my question. So that is the way to do it. Blaine has a comment here like that, getting your distributions correlations from Sims is the best way to do it, assuming your underlying model is accurate. But of course, Blaine, this is where we're all guessing here, and you're just trying to be the most accurate guesser. So, like, how would you go about doing that? So, if you're garbage in, garbage out. If your model stinks, then of course your sims are going to stink. But we're trying our best, and the way to do that, especially on that like more zoomed in showdown type of play, is definitely play by play sims.
Yeah, no, Blaine's definitely correct there in terms of like the exponential bias, and we've talked about that in a lot of our content of like if we were starting from scratch, building like a play-by-play sim the way we did it would be a stupid idea, because it's taking like years and years to get us to the point where we feel like that bias isn't having an effect. I think Max went on TakeCast last week, and he was kind of talking about like when he first came on as a partner, Max Steinberg, he was like had a lot of concerns about like some of the outputs where, most of the time it's good. And then you'll get this random game where we're like 5-7 points over the Vegas total or whatever. And same with MLB, it's like there'll be random pitchers where we're like way off, or and it's because when you have a bad input, it just has that exponential effect. So it's taken a long time for us to really dial in that model so that we feel really, really good about the output. And so we're still doing this like bottom-up approach, but we feel very, very, good about the output, like the mean projections, the correlations are all like they pass the eye test, and they're not crazy projections, but we still get the benefit of those ranges of outcomes.
Speed matters too. You guys do it pretty fast, pretty damn fast. Yeah.
You guys have probably a lot of experience over the years, like dealing with customers and how they interact with the sims, what they expect from them, setting realistic expectation. Because as we've done kind of this sim media tour over the past 2 months, that's the thing almost all of these creators say is like, we're nervous people are going to misunderstand what these are, how you're using them, what a realistic ROI is. Like, what has been your experience with interacting with customers who might not be this deep into the weeds of what's actually happening behind the scenes?
Yeah, I mean, we spend a lot of time on education. It's our kind of our, we don't do, touting, we don't do like slate breakdowns and stuff like that. All of our content that we do is really focused on helping our users like understand the tools, understand how to use them, how to interpret them and get better. So there's definitely a risk like when people that are new first come on, they don't understand what the numbers mean, have these false expectations, but we've really tried to focus on helping users like create solid, like low risk as much as you can have low risk in GPP play. Processes that are like diversified and where you can kind of account for different biases that the sims might have and understand what those numbers mean. So yeah, I think it's all just about, education and having like that good onboarding process so that people can have the right expectations and have a good process.
How do you, how do you demonstrate, like, short of just getting into the screenshot marketing game, how do you demonstrate that you have the best sim tool, like both from a pragmatic marketing standpoint, in actuality showcase that yours is the best?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to really prove that. I think, you know, Brian, and the, I think you've said a few times over the past few weeks, like, you can't really prove it. I think showing our, being transparent about our methodology, about, you know, we talk a lot about our play-by-play sims, and every time we do like a model update, we'll do a video with, you know, Will or Eric as our other data analyst, talking about like what we've changed, how the model works. And obviously, you know, on the, you do want to have, like, we do a lot of internal accuracy analysis and stuff like that, but it's really hard to just be like, hey, look at these R squared numbers or whatever, because it just doesn't resonate with people, and models change, and like when you grab the data matters, especially for something like NBA, it's just like impossible to do some sort of like accuracy analysis, because it just depends on like whether they're accounting for the news that dropped and stuff like that. So we're never going to prove that we're the best, but I think talking about why our methodology is the right way to go about it, and then just users, if they have a good experience and they win or they, the results make sense to them, I think that'll sort of speak for themselves.
Can you export, I should know this, but can you export your field?
Yeah.
That, oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. When you guys were talking about that, yeah, you definitely can. So yeah, you go on like the contest tab and you can open up the field. And then I think there's like a create custom field button that like copies it over to a new build, and you can.
Okay. So that's,
good. Yeah, you definitely can do that for sure. So you can also just sort of look at the exposures like on that page too, and just be like,
right,
okay, that the field is saying like, yeah, 10%, you know, whatever stat, you know, KC stacks, and like, you know, 25% like QB plus one and a run back, stuff like that. So you can see exactly what we're using for our field, which, you know, the transparency there was really important, so that if people want to make adjustments where they're like, I know my field is going to be like sharper than this, I know they're going to like have a different exposures than what this is saying, they can adjust for that rather than not really knowing like what you're testing against.
That's, I mean, I think that's as close as you're going to get as a user. Mm-hmm. Download the field, take a look at it. Does it make sense to you? Go through it, do it maybe a couple times. And then really just who do you trust? Who's your favorite content creator? And go from there, really. Like, I just don't think you could prove it.
What are your thoughts on, you know, because Brian's been pretty doom and gloom over the past couple of months about these sims kind of destroying his edge. He's hinted that specifically what you guys do is very similar to his process. How do you think about that from, obviously you want your sims to succeed from a business standpoint, but maybe from an ecosystem, you know, drying up or chewing up a lot of the new players, like, how do you think about that dynamic?
Yeah, I've gone back and forth on that. I honestly don't have like super strong opinions about like what the future of the DFS ecosystem is going to be like. I mean, I do disagree about the idea that like these sim products are just going to sort of like compete with each other and like eat into each other's price. Like the prices are all going to like drop, and suddenly there's going to be like $20 sims that are like equivalent to what is out there now. I mean, if you've looked at like the optimizer space, like that has not happened at all in terms of like pricing for, you know, there's cheap optimizers that have popped up that are not as good as like the best out there. In terms of how you can build lineups. And I think probably same with like projections and like anything else, there's going to be cheap knockoff sims that like aren't as good as the best ones. And so, yeah, there will be other options for people that want to have like the sim name, but like not as good of a product. But I don't see this being like sim products are just like slowly getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper until everybody has access to at least the type of sims that are going to kill the ecosystem. Certainly like the field is getting sharper. I think that was already happening before sims. It probably The Sims won't help, but I think that there's many years left of profitability for sharp players. I don't think it's like, oh, next year this time there's going to be no edge left. I think obviously it depends on the game, the sport. Like MLB, I think is a lot closer to, I don't think that it's dead or anything, but there's less edge just in like the variance with the rake and the variance in the sport. It's just harder to find that edge. But like NFL Showdown, I mean, if you look at like our like post-contest ROIs, it's like 90% of 150 maxers are plus EV, and like quite significantly, even ones that like are for sure like not using our sims. So there's clearly like there's different levels of edge in the different games. And I think stuff like Showdown and MMA and then like sports where you can find a projection edge too that's lower variance, there's going to be dead money to beat for a long time.
We had a back and forth on Twitter on that, so maybe we should talk about that. The post contest sim, for people who don't know, is slightly different. They also offer that at SaberSim and other sites, where you can go and look, and not every GPP, but a bunch of them, and see how like the user's simulated ROI against the actual real field, not against the predicted one. So it's much more accurate. Now, a criticism, which all of us share, is that it depends on whose data and play-by-play sims, etc., that you are using to judge each of these players by, which, is, of course, is completely fair. And one of my concerns was more so the percentage of 150 maxers showing up as plus EV in sims. And so like I haven't really kept up with this, too lazy, but like in the few days I did look at it in baseball, there was what seemed to me to be like kind of a shocking amount of 150ers who weren't plus EV in multiple different post lock sims. And I talked to you, talked to Nerdy Tenor, AKA the man who ruined DFS. And he said in his sims he was seeing more post lock sims of more people showing plus EV than both SaberSim and Stochastic. So there's a lot of debate here. You know, I don't know. Take what you will. How do you feel about this?
Yeah, I think definitely the projection. I mean, obviously the reason why like SaberSim and Stochastic would disagree is. One, the source of projection is, you know, we're using the respective projection, you know, mean projections, and just the ranges of outcomes are going to be different. Even with the same projection set, we're going to get different results because, like, we have the play-by-play sims, and I don't know what other sites are doing, but obviously we're not going to be generating the distributions in the same way. But I do think, looking at the percentage of 150 maxers that are plus EV is at least a signal. It's definitely not perfect because the more your projections that you're using to generate those ROIs, like the more they differ from what like the field is using. The, you know, if 150 maxers as a whole are like using projections that are far different than what you're using, then it's gonna change the results a lot. But like, it is pretty clear, like when you look at the NFL Showdown ROIs and you sort 150 maxers, like I think probably I haven't looked at like Stochastic or other sites, but ours are showing just like very clear, sharp users, like all at the top. And like basically everyone that you would expect to be plus EV is solidly plus EV. And for MLB, it's like more hit and miss. But also in MLB, I can believe more that people that we think of as sharp might not really be profitable because MLB is really hard. So it's kind of hard to tell. For sure, there's less edge, though. I think that's a decent, at least like litmus test.
But you don't think, what's your like 5-year vision of the DFS ecosystem? What do you see? You just see everything will be fine, smooth sailing from here on out.
I think the DFS will be around in 5 years. It will be a bit smaller than it is now, but like, I don't think it's going to be dead. I think, you know, there's always going to be, as long as there are these top heavy contests, especially for NFL. I mean, I think Levitan was talking about that on your show a couple weeks ago. Like, there's always going to be people that are going for those big payouts, even if they know that there's no edge, or people try to convince them that there's no edge. So I think it's going to be popular. But I don't know. I'm not really like, I don't feel like I'm knowledgeable enough to know like what the ecosystem's going to be like, but I don't think that it's shrinking. If it's shrinking, it's like very, very slow. And I think it'll sort of plateau at this like point where there's going to be plenty of people still playing, edge to be had, but just like smaller edges. And you kind of have to pick and choose where you're going to focus your energy. And I think you'll need to have like Sims tools to like be able to realize that in a lot of sports for sure.
From like a competition perspective with all the other Sim products, do you guys view it as like, hey, we have a big head start on everyone. We are really fine tuning things. We're on the bleeding edge, and we just feel like there's a big enough gap right now between us and the other competitors that we'll always kind of be able to stay a step ahead. Is that kind of the calculation you guys are making?
I couldn't have said it better myself, Pete. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I do think that we're pretty far ahead. I think in terms of, like I said, the play-by-play sims that go into the game sims, we like are way far ahead. We already have like, you know, a dozen different sports that we're doing this for. And then I think the other really big thing is just this streamlined platform where everything, like, you can get the automated sim updates and field updates and like build your lineups and then sim your lineups all in one place. I think people often overlook the value of that, like, time and that ease of like streamlined process. I mean, Nerdy Tanner talked about it on his pod with Blender, right? That like being able to quickly react to news is a really big edge. And if you're having to like download data from a bunch of different places and like spend a bunch of time creating your fields and adjusting for news, that's going to be like a pretty big source of potential error and like missing out on that value. So I think the fact that we have this like streamlined platform is like a really, really big advantage. And we're already sort of like working on the next like step in the like sim, I don't know what to call it, the sim wars. Like, the we're like refining stuff, but we're still like innovating and building more additional like tools and and stuff that I think I haven't heard talked about.
You seem nauseated just saying the word sim wars. It seemed like it pained you just to say those
you
two
love
words
it
you know, it's, yeah, it, the idea that it's like this war that like, oh, there's all these like equally high quality products going at each other.
Wow, here we go.
Now no, I mean, place. Yeah, I think that there's, I'm very glad that people are talking about Sims and doing them. But yeah, I feel very confident that no one is close to us in terms of like the quality of the product and the direction that we're going. So, yeah.
Let's get to some good stuff here. There was a question that popped up in the chat that I flagged before that I'll pull up here. Parker says, ask Matt about the hostile relationship with his business partner, Wiley. And be careful, because I've seen Wiley on Twitter. He feels very litigious these days in some of his replies. So be careful what you say. Yeah. What's going on here with Wiley?
There's nothing going on with Wiley. We have a very positive relationship. I mean, Wiley, he posted, like, he tweeted a couple weeks ago, I think, about how well the partnership between SaberSim and RPS is going. So we're all good.
Yeah, when you guys partnered with Run Pure, did you really have to ramp up your sim education levels? Was that really when you guys had to start focusing on the education aspect?
Yeah, so I actually, it's just different. It's the RPS users that are getting SaberSim through RPS. It's just sort of like a different audience. I think they provide a different sort of value in terms of like the community and the like the content and like people that want to like watch like those shows where it's like picking plays and like being part of that community. I think it's just like a completely like the Venn diagram is very there's not a lot of like shared audience. So that's why the partnership works really well, because like they can still get those sim tools through RPS, but still have like the value that they provide. So
I watched RPS's show Sunday or Monday, Pete. I told Pete in the DMs, and they did a little Saber Sim primer and totally screwed it up. I don't know if you watched. Wiley was screwing up Big T, and they're just the output was completely wrong. They selected build. They didn't use the Saber Sim ownership, and they ran the sim against their own build, which they weighted Kenneth Walker like, you know, 25 points or something. So he was in like tons of lineups, which would totally change the output of the ROI, and they ended up getting like 8% of the guy they jacked up, and it just in their heads exploded. Like, why would the sim give us less of a guy we jacked up? It was.
Yeah, I mean the contest sim product itself, I think they're just starting to roll out. Like they've just had like the essentially like the lineup builder and projections and stuff like that. So I think we'll like definitely work on the education and
no,
like,
don't please
teaching was, the user.
Please don't.
It was no. Really entertaining.
Ball knower, brain knower, Travis Petty wants to know how you guys ended up partners. How did that sausage get made? He points out two incredibly different teams.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think the fact that we are very different teams makes us a really good partnership, because we're not like cannibalizing each other. It's hard to have a partnership like that if like we both have projections, you know, of like we don't want people leaving Saber Sim to like just join RPS, and RPS doesn't want people leaving them to join us, but like we're doing different things. They reached out you know, a couple of years ago, I think it's been, when they were like trying to partner with the Optimizer, and it was a good fit. You know, I think we have like integration with like their core plays and their player pools and projections, so they can sort of save their admins can save that stuff on Saber Sim through the site. And
has it been successful venture between the two? Have you are you happy with the return on your time and investment?
I think it's been very mutually beneficial for sure. Yeah.
So we do always ask our guests if they're on team Run Pure Sports, Ship It Nation. Can you pick a side?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious I'm team Run Pure. So you can mark that down in your. I like the guys at Run Pure. I think, like I said, it's a really good partnership for both sides. Just makes a lot of sense. So,
Brian, you got anything else for Matt?
Let me think. Not really. I mean, we talked about how he sees this going down. I will say, you know, when I said like that the Sim Wars could lead to, you know, $20 sims, I was, you know, a little dramatic there. Like, you know, whatever, $80 or $60 or whatever, like a sim cost now, was replacing optimizers was more what I was getting at. And I still think that's definitely in the a solid probability of happening. You know, and maybe not, you're maybe true. You're right. Like some of the, like the higher quality ones won't drop their price very much, but certainly someone will. That's my guess.
Yeah. I mean, I think you might be right. I mean, I would say that the people that are dropping, like the sim products that are dropping in prices, are ones that you don't need to be as worried about, like, killing your edge anyway. But you know, I think, I don't really have concerns about that particular outcome.
Do you guys also, go ahead, Pete?
No, go ahead, Brian.
Do you also blame Nerdy Tenor for the death of DFS?
Yeah.
No, I don't. I mean, we, like I said, we've been doing contest sim stuff like internally for a long time. I feel like Nerdy Tender brought some of these concepts to like the forefront, but I mean, you've said people, pros have been doing a lot of this stuff for a long time. I probably wrote my first contest sim like 2017 or something. Like, it's not, this isn't like brand new information that no one had access to and no one had thought of before. And I certainly don't blame him for killing DFS. I mean, obviously, I'm happy that we finally got to release these to the world. So it's been a blast, even if DFS is dead in 5 years, which I don't think it will be. It's fun to be able to like build, you know, awesome tools and show people what we've been doing.
Are you guys an exclusive partner with Run Pure, or would you guys consider a possible joint venture with Real Good Picks, as Dennis asked?
Here? I mean, we aren't. It is not exclusive. We do have a few other partners. So, you know.
Who are your other partners? Inbox is open.
We are partnered with True DFS. That's, I don't know, Sheets, Eric Haber, you know him. And then we actually just started partners with Razball, which is, they like have been more focused on like projections and stuff. But he's been around for a while. And
Chet Gresham, right? Is it Chet? Still with Razball there?
Razball is Rudy Gamble is like his
okay.
Twitter.
He might have taken over now. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I was gonna say his legal name's Gamble. That's awesome. No, his Twitter
handle. Yeah.
Maybe that. Well, was there anything else, Matt? I know initially too, I had asked you that kind of all-encompassing question about bigger misconceptions in the sim world, and there was lots of different directions to take that. Were there any that we didn't touch on here before we get out of here?
I'm looking through my notes. No, I mean, I think that's, you know, it's like, it's the accuracy of the game sims. It's the like ability to have control over the process for brains who want to like make rules and upload projections. And then it's like the streamlined process of having like all of your fields that auto update if you don't want to deal with uploading those fields. Oh, and the other thing is like, on SaberSim, you can run 10 different contest sims of 100,000 sims each all at once, and they finish within a minute. So, I mean, that's a pretty obvious, like, just the performance, I would say, of, like, the speed and performance of what we've built is kind of a step above. So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
I guess one other question I wanted to ask you, because you guys offer sims for a ton of sports, like how much of like the sim infrastructure is being ported over from sport to sport? Say there's a new sport, F1 comes out, you know, when that comes out, and you guys are like, we're just going to be ready to go. And how much of it does require that like really hyper-specific knowledge, as you guys mentioned, hey, we're fine-tuning play-by-play data for NFL coaches in two-minute scenarios, like, because that's a whole nother beast. So how do you think about that as far as, you know, being spread across all these sports?
That's a really good question. I mean, I think each of our sports, we don't like phone anything in for sure. I mean, obviously they're not like all the exact same quality and like level, you know, NFL, we're spending a lot of time even like throughout the week of like making adjustments as we see them and like set up a lot more of that work. But like college football, we just released this year. We have sims for that. That's like using a lot of the NFL infrastructure that we already had, right? Because like it's still, you know, it's football. There's some different rules that we accounted for. So it's like sort of a fork off of NFL. But for college football, it's like the big thing is the news, like the usage. And we have Eric, one of our data analysts, who's like probably one of the best college football like DFS players. He's doing basically all of like our inputs there. But then you know, other sports like MMA, honestly, might be our strongest like sport. Will basically is like that's his baby. So we have a really good MMA sim. But I would say like all of our sports, we're spending like a good amount of time building out that play-by-play logic and really making sure that it makes sense. We're not just sort of like porting over some other code base and like tweaking some things and just like calling it good. We're really putting time into making sure that the results like make sense.
We're running out of time, but I did have one more topic I thought we could touch on.
I've got time.
With I don't know if you guys, I'm sure Pete saw that New York banned or is looking to ban underdog, like Prize Picks type of player prop, whatever they're called.
October 18th, I think, is the D-Day for it in New York.
Yeah, what's your feeling on that stuff in general? And were you guys looking, I mean, you have the play-by-play data, and were you guys ever thinking about offering a product for incorporating that into like quickly betting those or anything like that?
Yeah. I mean, we've done some prop stuff over the past few years. It's never really been we're not doing it right now just because it's kind of it felt like a distraction to have to sort of, you know, we didn't want to fully automate it in terms of just like having like every pick, because, you know, we're not going to get everything. There's going to be mistakes, and we don't want users to like be betting stuff that's like based on inaccurate info or whatever, that like in the morning. And so we were doing more of like hand like curation of the props, and it just ended up being a distraction, and we wanted to focus on DFS. But yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely some possibilities there. It's just tough with like how quickly they limit people, especially when it's like clear that it's like a group all betting on one prop. They're just like changing the lines fast. They're limiting people, and it's, I don't know, we're still trying to figure out like where we want to enter that space of whether it's like, you know, the actual player props or like Prize Picks, underdog, pick 'em formats. I think, you know, we'll see once we sort of like get through everything that we want to do for DFS, we'll maybe put some more focus into that kind of thing.
It still always blows my mind, because like thinking back like 5 years ago, and it was always, you know, sports betting and all these types of games, this is the future. This is where everything's headed. It's going to be like an arms race and all of this stuff. And then still year after year, it never changes. It's very hard to build tools and content for those kind of games because of all the dynamics you said, the line shopping, the things moving, You push it out to your crew. Like say you guys find a huge ROI on some correlated pick'em, and it's like, well, then they move the line in, you know, in 3 minutes, right, after 100 users hit it. It's like, it's really, really hard to do from both of those standpoints.
It's kind of impossible, because the whole point is to not be public about it. That's kind of like the whole point of sports betting, is like, you don't want to be public about it. And so the minute you make it public, you're just betraying the kind of rule number one of sports betting, because you don't want them to know. So it's tough to do in a commercial setting. It's also just like a bummer, you know, they're cracking down. I mean, we've talked about it on this show with Jeremy. Looks like that threat was very real. And so hopefully they could pull out some political lobbying for themselves and kind of get their niche in there some way. But yeah, that's got to be pretty scary for the employees over there.
Matt, tell the people where they can find stuff. Obviously sabersim.com, anything, any other resources if people's interest is piqued here to check out what you guys are doing over there.
Yeah, I mean, sabersim.com, we've got a free 5-day trial of like the Sims product too. So there's really, you know, no reason not to at least try it out and, you know, join our Discord. And we've got like daily office hours, we call them. That's, you know, videos, just like anybody can ask questions, get answers on how to use the product, what we do. So, and then, you know, we've got a YouTube channel with lots of education about all of the things that we do. So yeah, I mean, sign up for a trial and check it out for yourself.
Do you want me to, tell you how to really drum up some customers here and really endear yourself to the hearts of America? I think if you close this show calling Travis Petty a pussy, I think it would just do incredible things for your Q rating.
He won't do it.
I'm not going to do that. No.
Come on. Call Travis Petty. I mean, he's out here. He's chirping. He slid into my DMs. He's trying to troll me during the show here. I mean, fine. I'll say it. Travis Petty's a pussy.
Whoa.
We'll see you guys next time on LOL.
Thank you. Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.